The Lord be with you. I want to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service today. And it is so special for us to be back. And it's lovely to see you all here today. And I want to say a very warm word of welcome to all who will hear the recorded version of this service later on today. We're still missing one little bit of equipment that we need to be able to live stream our services, but we're hopeful that that will arrive and it will be installed by next week. Just at this point, I need to make a couple of practical announcements to people. And the first one is to ensure that your name and your phone number have been recorded as you took your seat today. And that's really important. And I know that people are doing that as they come in, but that's really, really important that you make sure your name and your phone number has been recorded. Also to say at the very end of our service today, we're asking you to just stay in your seat until a steward will indicate that you can leave, and then you just head out the same door that you came in, and please move then out to the lawn or to the car park where you can have a chat at social distance so we just don't clog up the entrance to the church. So if you can make your way out, that'll be brilliant. Another couple of quick reminders in case you didn't see the Back to Church video, which we made last week. During our service today, we don't have a collection in the normal way that people are used to that happening, but there are baskets at the back of the church if you wish to make an offering. And we thank you to all those who've now made that transition to give electronically, and that has helped to stabilize our finances very much over these past few difficult months. The second reminder, and it's a more difficult reminder to give you, is that we're not permitted to sing at the present time, and that will feel very strange to us all, but we will be seated for our hymns, and you'll see the words appearing on the screen, and you're certainly very welcome to hum along if you wish, but we're asked not to sing. And I want to say again on all our behalf a very big word of thanks today to all our stewards, and those who are part of the cleaning team, and those who are part of the technology team, who have made it possible for us all to return to worship today. As we come, I understand that many people are probably feeling rather nervous and anxious, and maybe wondering how it will all be as we come together. But I guess the overwhelming sense that I have in my heart as I saw people coming up the drive today is one of great thanksgiving to God, to see everybody, and it's so lovely to see everybody. And that's the theme of our opening hymn. We're going to sit and we're going to really ponder on these wonderful words as we lift our hearts in praise to God as we hear them. The hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Our service today is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Bible reading today is from the book of the prophet Haggai, and over the past 4 weeks or so we've been studying this little book in the Old Testament, and it's a book all about a rebuilding project. And today we're reading from Haggai chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 10. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priests what the law says. If a person carries consecrated meat in the fold of his garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, oil, or other food, does it remain consecrated? The priests answered, no. Then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priests replied, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with this people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer there is defiled. Now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day on, I will bless you. Here ends our Bible reading. And now we're going to invite everybody in response to our Bible reading to stand as we affirm our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God. And he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our special collect prayer for today, the eighth Sunday after Trinity. Blessed are you, O Lord, and blessed are those who observe and keep your law. Help us to seek you with our whole heart, to delight in your commandments, and to walk in the glorious liberty given us by your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're going to share together in the two morning collects, which you'll see on the screen in front of you. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So as we prepare our hearts to reflect upon the Word of God, we're going to sit and reflect on the words of our next hymn, which is a hymn that invites the Lord to speak into our lives and into our hearts. We listen to the hymn, Rise and Hear, the Lord is speaking. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So welcome back, everybody, to our first in-church worship service in over 4 months. And as I'm standing here in the pulpit, I have with me the 21-page document that are the conditions that we need to comply with in order to open the doors to the public. And this document in my hand is a really, really important document. It contains, among other things, a risk assessment that we needed to complete. There are all sorts of systems that we had to set in place to ensure that people can come in and go out of the building as safely as possible. You'll notice that there are a lot more stewards than usual to help us and to record our names and our telephone numbers. There's also a lot of new equipment here to help us to follow the liturgy and the service, because we've had to remove all our books. And we hope that this equipment will help us in due course to reach more people and homes, as we realize that many still cannot join us because they're shielding, and also because our capacity in terms of numbers is vastly reduced as we observe social distance. So, having had the door closed for the past 4 months, and during those 4 months, I've really been the only person who's been allowed into the building, and I've spent the last 4 months on Sunday mornings praying for you and for all our households in the parish as we have journeyed through this pandemic. And today, as we open the doors for the first time, it really does feel like a new beginning. But I'm conscious too that it's maybe not quite the new beginning that many of us might have hoped for. In a time of many changes, many of us look to our Christian faith for steadiness and for comfort to help us through the troubled times. And now today we're back and we find that the building and even the systems to get us through one of our comforting weekly rhythms has changed as well. We can't even sing at the minute. And while we're all glad to be back, maybe if we're honest, we feel a little bit jarred off at it all. We're maybe cross with the government for making it so complicated. We're maybe cross with the stewards who've taken us from the seat that we've sat in for years and years and years. And maybe, in truth, you might be a bit cross with me and the Select Vestry for allowing all of this to happen. And you know, I can understand all of those feelings. And whenever we feel frustrated or we feel annoyed, it's quite satisfying if we do have someone to vent those frustrations upon. And it strikes me that our situation this morning, as we return to church today, it's not dissimilar to the situation that was faced by the Israelites as they returned to Jerusalem from exile in Babylon, and they started to rebuild the temple. And if you have been listening to our series on Haggai, you will remember that this task of rebuilding the temple was a really crucial task, because the temple was the place, or it was the visible sign of God's presence in the community. And as the Israelites returned to Jerusalem, the temple lay in ruins. And so you might wonder if you've just come into Haggai today and maybe that reading sounded very strange to you, what have we been learning over these past 4 weeks as we've studied this little book? It's only a couple of pages long in the end of the Old Testament. Well, I think the first thing that we've learned over the weeks is that it's really important to keep focused on what God wants us to do. And we've also seen over these weeks that it's very easy to get distracted from the most important thing. And we've also seen that things like opposition and apathy can sap the life out of any rebuilding project. I know you'll find it hard to tell, but last week I went to get my hair cut, and my barber told me that reopening her business felt like starting all over again. And even though she has been long established in the town in which she works for over 26 years, people were understandably cautious about returning. And as we spoke together, she told me, in all honesty, she said she wasn't cutting enough people's hair to pay all her bills. And having invested in all of the equipment that she needed for her staff and her customers, and revamping the salon to comply with the government regulations, all of this had been a huge undertaking. And as she spoke with me about that situation, it struck me that perhaps it's the same for the church in many respects. Now, we've been around for more than 26 years, 88 years in our particular expression of it here, but many people are understandably cautious about coming back. And they may be in vulnerable categories because of age or underlying medical conditions. And indeed, the whole process of getting in and out the door seems very alien and strange. But I've been thinking about other groups of people as well as we return to church today. What about those who might be our new customers? Those who've maybe connected into our Facebook page or our website and they want to check things out from a distance? Or what about those who've maybe felt hurt by the church in the past? Maybe they helped at an organization or an activity for years and years and years, but no one ever said thank you or appreciated them. And so they left, and they've begun during lockdown to cautiously explore church services from the safe distance of a computer or a mobile phone. Or what about those who have experienced trauma or suffering, and they find it so hard to see God in any of that? Or those who maybe feel disillusioned by the behavior or the attitudes of the Christians that they know. There is quite a rebuilding process to be done, isn't there? And when generations have voted with their feet and they haven't come near the place like their parents and grandparents, who then is going to rebuild the temple? The place where God's presence can be seen and experienced by all who gather there. Well, if the truth be told, I believe, like any big and daunting task, we have to begin where we are. And that means actually beginning with ourselves. And just as Haggai challenged the Israelites about their complacency and how easily they got distracted from their purpose, perhaps the current pandemic has been a huge wake-up call to all of us in the church as well. And again, if the truth be told, renewal will not come through doing what we've always done and hoping things will change. It must begin within our hearts and our lives as we open ourselves afresh to the Spirit of God and we ask Him to abide within us. We ask Him to come in and to shape our character and to do the things that He would want us to do in our community. And so we ask Him to continue to help us to care for each other and to love each other. We ask Him to help us to refocus our attention on worship and Bible reading and prayer and building community. And we ask Him to stir our hearts to service and generosity and a concern to see those beyond our walls coming to know Him in their lives. And so we pray for His grace to model something of the living Christ to those that we come in contact with, whether that's through our services online or in church, through how we engage with our community and the world around us. But you know, there's quite a solemn warning in those few verses that we heard today from Haggai, that we can have all the rules and regulations right, like this big document. And you know, these documents are vitally important in these days. We can have all these things ticked off to be absolutely correct and in order. But the truth is that our hearts can be far from God. And the reminder is here in verses 15 to 18 of the second chapter of Haggai of how the Lord withdrew His favor from the Israelites when they had forgotten Him. And in that solemn warning, there's a challenge that we too can distance ourselves from God to the degree that we cannot then reconnect with Him. And we need to be mindful of those consequences if we've chosen to neglect Him in our lives. But you know, there's also a really beautiful encouragement at the end of these verses, as people take even the first tentative steps in coming back to Him, we're told that He will respond. The Lord will always respond to those who make any move towards Him, and He will pour out His abundant blessings. So let's position ourselves in that same way, that our lives lie open to Him, and that this building and this community might radiate His love and His grace and the beautiful fragrance of His holy presence to all who come in touch with us or who cross the threshold of this beautiful, magnificent building that we're very blessed to be back in this morning. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give You thanks for bringing us back together to worship today. We thank You for all those who've worked so hard behind the scenes to make it possible. Our glebe wardens and back to church preparation team, our select vestry, the technology and cleaning teams, and all who have volunteered to help in any way. We give thanks too for the many people who are praying or who have been praying for the safety of this day. We also, Lord, want to give You thanks for every single person who is here today in person And we give you thanks for every single person who's been phoning in each week to hear the service or tuning in online. And we pray that every single one of us might find our faith encouraged and strengthened, and we might be blessed and inspired and encouraged as we go into this new week in your strength, living for your glory. Lord, in your mercy. We pray also today for the nations of the world, and we pray particularly for the rebuilding of the world's economy. We pray for businesses and harvests to flourish as countries emerge from lockdown. We also pray especially today for caution and sensible behavior as we go about our daily business and interactions with people. And we continue to pray for your wisdom and your guidance for all chief medical officers and health officials and government advisors as they make important decisions and they shoulder huge responsibilities. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor, and those in any kind of trouble. And we pray today for all those who are about to transition to new schools or universities in the next month or so. And Lord, we ask that you would go before them in your mercy, that you would reassure them of your presence and your care, and that you would help people to adjust to new environments and situations. We also pray for all school teachers and lecturers in universities and for all involved in helping people to settle in and to make those transitions in a very challenging time. We want to take a quiet moment today for praying for God's healing and peace in the lives of any who are particularly in our hearts as we come to church or we listen in today. And we pray especially today for the Hunter family circle as they prepare for Mary's funeral service, which will take place later this week in restricted circumstances. So we pray for Mary's husband, Eddie, and her children, Olive, Valerie, and Edward. And we ask that you would comfort and uphold them in their sad time of loss. So in the quiet, let's just bring to God any who are in our thoughts and on our minds as we come to church today. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
To us and our hope for the future. as we listen to the hymn, O God, our help in ages past.
So just a little reminder before our final blessing that please remain in your seats and a steward will direct you to leave, and also to remind people not just to congregate at the entrance of the church, just to make your way out to the grass or the car park where you'll be able to enjoy some conversation with those from social distance. We bow our heads for God's blessing. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen.